Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Scam Wow,
the podcast about scam.
I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams. Guys, we love it. Now, we don't want to be victims of scam, but there's something about scams that it's not murder.
Oh, no.
So I'm okay with it. Like, most people don't die. And that's what I like about scams.
I like, they're kind of Robin Hood-y, you know?
Yes, some are great people.
Yeah, some of them, they're just doing their best.
They are doing their best. And I read an article right now, they're saying like, right now in the US, that the climate is so that like scam artists aren't that bad anymore. Like, because we're dealing with such difficult, the government's so shitty, there's so much like horror and trauma every time you get online and you read about it, that it's like, man, if this girl took a little bit of money and duped a rich guy, well, good for
big
her.
Big deal.
It really is like the climate right now is like, you know, scammer, schmammer, whatever.
Whatever. I was in the doctor's office and they had the WQXR on, the classical music.
Okay.
And one of their ads was, when the news is too much, turn to WQXR. We're always, I was like, yeah, of course.
Yes, it is too
much. But they're even acknowledging it.
I know. And that is so normal. Like, you talk to anyone and they're like, look, like my dad is a physical therapist in Bethesda, Maryland. Shout out. He's the best. So now he handed me the other day. He goes, here, I got these printed out. He hands me a little pamphlet of meditation.
Oh,
and he's like, I think my patients, and it says on behalf of Bethesda Physical Therapy, like he even realizes his patients, like you can do so much with physical healing, but then there's, the climate is so bad right now.
So
he's
bad.
Like, I think this is helpful. And I was like, wow, that was incredible. And it really was nice, this little packet of like how to breathe and like tools. And he said one of his patients was like a meditation teacher and he like collaborated with her and now hands that out to his patients.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Great. I know. I was like, wow, that's so needed.
He took it upon himself.
Yeah. I know. He's a healer.
Okay. Speaking of scams, I was in Pennsylvania over the weekend.
Yes, you were. I was.
It was camping. It was cold. I wore my down jacket. I hated it. And I think tickets are a scam. So my husband was fishing and apparently you have to have a license or whatever.
To fish.
And the warden came by in an SUV and gave him a $200 ticket.
$200?
Yeah, $200 for not having a license, or a fishing license or something.
$200? Did he say, I didn't know, I'm out of state?
None of that mattered. Of course. His last name is Rodriguez. The guy looks at his ID and he's like, oh, Rodriguez, huh?
But that's what he said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was like rural Pennsylvania. Shit. Yeah. So tickets are a scam.
Speaking of tickets are a scam. So I'm flying with my son, who's 8 months, and my husband tomorrow. Pretty nervous. And we aren't getting him a seat because he doesn't sit still. So we're not getting him a babysit because it's sort of a waste of money.
Yeah.
So friends of mine have said, you know, put your baby on your lap. But then I realized like I want a little bit more space. Like I was like, okay, maybe I'll pay the extra to get more leg room in case he's wiggling around. And so I call the airline and there is no seat. There aren't two seats next to each other. It's two middle seats on like opposite sides of the aisle.
No.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, like call tomorrow or call in or check in. You know, they always pop up. People cancel. I just thought it was so odd. Like, people haven't even checked in yet. That aren't the seats sort of, can't you change your seat a bunch of times? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it could have worked something out for us.
Yeah. One time recently, we had seats separately, or mm-hmm. like we hadn't paid for the seat assignment. Sometimes you have to pay.
Yeah.
And we just went up to them at the gate and we were like, my husband was like, me and my wife sit together, and they gave us like the extra legroom ones.
Right. That's, and yeah. that's sort of what she was saying. She's like, you know, go see what it's like at the gate. And I'm like, come on, I have an 8-month-old. Like, yeah. you're going to make me jump through another hoop. Like, I just, even she knew that there was something shady or you could, that's what bothers me so much about airlines yeah. is that people be like a free upgrade or something crazy. And I'm like, what? I can't get my head around it. They're I think just the fact that I know is that like something, there's something I'm missing drives me crazy.
They're trying to scam you left and right, for sure.
I know. I'm so nervous to fly with him because I know I do this. Like a baby, you see a baby on the flight and I roll my eyes. I don't want to make eye contact with the parents. I hope they don't sit next to me. I want to sleep. I'm like, shit, I'm that person
it's
now.
Okay.
And you hear of like Amal and George Clooney and they're giving people Bose headphones and chocolates, or there's something viral, some, you know, great BuzzFeed article about a family who handmade cookies, you know, like for everyone. I don't have any of that shit. I'm just like, look,
no,
I'm
it's
poor.
Okay. It's fine.
And I just hope my baby doesn't cry. And he might cry. And you were all babies too. And you shit yourselves
and you
too.
You all are watching TV. So
yes.
who cares?
I think that's what drives me crazy is when people are mean and angry about babies. I'm like, you were a baby.
That's
you were probably
a
shit baby.
That is a great point. They forget they were babies.
They were. It's like, it's not like I chose to bring a golden retriever.
No.
And this is you.
You were there.
You were that.
Yeah.
And if you have unprotected sex,
you could have
you
one
could
of those.
Have one.
That
could
happen.
Your life.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Speaking of airlines, though, I need to tell you one more thing. Is it's a scam that I'm pulling.
Okay, I like it.
I want to fly with my animals from New York to LA. Not
right.
like a lot of animals, two cats.
Yeah.
And you can get what are they called? Emotional support animals.
Yes, yes.
And I was like looking, I was like, how do I get an emotional yeah. support animal? Because Lord knows I need it. Or
yeah,
like, how do I
mean,
get
that's
them?
Factual. Like if I had to.
Yeah.
They are for sure your emotional support animals.
Yeah, for sure. So there are all these places that are going to scam you and you pay $150 and you can get a letter, blah, blah, blah. So I just messaged my doctor and I was like, can you write this letter? And she was like, yeah, I got you. And she just sent me one like right away.
Wow.
It was awesome. And I was like, and now the airline can't charge me for it. Like before they want to charge like $150 per animal to bring an animal on. But if you have a letter, they can't charge you for it. And also landlords have to let you live there if it's your emotional support animal.
Wow.
Even if it's no pets.
No, I think that's great because as I know you and I will vouch for you, Sue Smith, they are your emotional support animals.
They truly are.
So you're not actually scamming. You're just not paying over for that.
No. I'm not
yeah, my dog, I could never say he's my emotional support because he makes me so angry.
Oh,
and it's such a difficult
Falcon.
My dog is enormous. The shelter did scam us.
They scammed you.
They did. They said he was going to be a beagle mix and beagle lab mix. And he is a enormous pit bull Australian cattle dog lab. I mean, this guy is huge. He has a chest of a pit bull. He has a face of a pit bull, but he's like gorgeous and speckled and like attitude of a lab and Australian cattle dog, which are actually from dingoes in Australia. Like I found out that's like
so
the
he's
lineage.
A dingo?
Yeah, he's part dingo. So he's like a wild maniac. And he's just a beast. He's like 70 pounds basically. And they said he was gonna be like a medium small dog.
Oh my god.
And they said he was like 9 weeks and had to have been like 5 weeks. Like he was a tiny, like he didn't even know how to bark yet when we got him.
Oh, Falcon.
And so we were like, oh, he's like a little tiny dog. And it's like, no, he was just literally born. Like he was just born, he doesn't know anything. And he makes me so angry because he's so bossy. So I literally, it's just like, who's the bossiest in the house? And I have to be bossy with him. And because I'm like a smaller woman, he listens to my husband. And then with me, I have to be like tough and be like, we're not doing that. Like I have to be like very aggressive. And my husband like is like, no, you're being too intense. And I'm like, but he doesn't literally
do the low voice.
Yeah, yeah. I have to behave. I think I just scared the podcast pug.
Oh, podcast pug.
It's okay. You're nice and gentle. I don't want to be assertive.
She's cute.
Yeah. So basically I could never scam that to my landlords because they would see me argue with it. It's like, there's no emotional stability
That's
there.
Not supporting you.
No. This girl is losing it.
Not supporting you.
What are your scams, Sue?
My scam? I got a scam. You want me to?
I really want to hear it.
Okay. So the scam that I picked this week, I've been fascinated by it for a few months now. There's a book about it, but I refuse to buy it because buying books is a scam.
Yeah. Buy my book though, guys. Dangerous Boobies by Kayla Brody.
Buy her book. I did buy yours.
Okay, thank you. I have to plug that at the end of every. I don't even plug my own book.
So the scam that I'm doing is called Theranos. It is a blood scam.
Blood scam?
Blood scam.
Like the Bloods and the Cribs or just your blood?
Your blood.
Oh, gross. Okay.
So this girl named Elizabeth Holmes, she went to Stanford. In 2003, she dropped out of Stanford to start a blood company.
A blood company.
Yeah. No, I'm exaggerating.
I hate her.
I'm exaggerating. So she wasn't majoring in medicine or science or anything at all. She was just like, let me do this. What it is she developed a finger prick test that is supposed to test your blood for like 100 diseases with one drop of blood.
Okay.
And it
sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. No, it is a great idea. It's a scam because, as you know, like if you get your blood test, the doctor has to tell the people what to test it for. You know what I mean? They don't just test it for everything right off the bat. They have to be like,
well, there's
told,
like a prescription and there's like if even if you get your regular, like if you go into a, let's say you have to see your doctor, like gives you a prescription, there's like a huge list and they check everything off.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like they're just checking for everything right off the bat.
Automatically, no.
No.
Because it costs money to check.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Holmes, her Theranos company, her blood stuff is doing that, allegedly. Theranos means, I really researched that. It really got really deep. It means therapy and diagnosis, Theranos.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. She sucks. And also, okay, so my information comes from one podcast I listened to with Pri Bora and John Carey Rue, who wrote this book that I will not buy because I don't buy books except for Caitlin's. Mm-hmm. And the book is called Bad Blood. So I listened to this podcast with John and I talked to my friend who read the book. So that's where my research is coming from.
That's fine.
She read it about a month ago, Sam Reese. So
she's up to date.
She's up to date. Yeah. So Elizabeth Holmes, this is what Sam told me. This is per Sam. When she was a kid and all the other kids were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And someone was like a doctor, a firefighter or whatever. She was always like a billionaire. That's what she wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And she idolized Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Idolized him to the point where she wore black turtlenecks all the time. Maybe she still does. She's still alive. She's young. Black turtlenecks all the time. She has blonde hair. She's cute. So she's developing this Theranos, this blood testing. And she's trying to get investors and she has people come in and she performs the blood test and then she shows the results of a time that it did work. So like she'll be like, these are your results, but they're somebody else's results. They're not the real results of the test because the machine is not working. She develops three types of blood machines, the Edison, the other thing and the other thing. Mm-hmm. And the Edison is supposed to be able to test like 1,000 drops of blood or 1,000 different tests. And it can only test 10 and then it breaks down. The other thing is always faulty in testing for the wrong stuff and giving wrong results. And then the third thing, I don't remember what Sam told me. Mm-hmm. So she gets all these investors and she gets like really high powered investors like George Shultz, who used to be the Secretary of State. Like these old Rupert Murdoch invests, all these people, they want to get in the ground floor because it's a blood revolution.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it's a blood revolution. Let me look at my notes to tell you who.
So I will tell you, so genetic testing is a real thing that's happening and you can take a swab or you can take a blood test and then they test you for different genetic disorders.
Yeah.
And so right now it is, that's what my book is about too. This is like the forefront of medicine. So it actually is a smart thing to get involved in because now they're doing preventative medicine.
Yeah.
So they're finding out based on a genetic, if you have mutations or genetic codes, is that you are more predisposed to, let's say, breast cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, like whatever it is, or heart disease or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is sort of where medicine is going now. So, which is helpful because we can be preventative. But with that, it's like a whole host of like all of your private information is given to these companies. I have issues with that.
Yeah, no, that's true. So her investors, Rupert Murdoch, Betsy DeVos, the Waltons of the
Betsy.
I know. the Walmart legacy, the Waltons, General Mattis and George Shultz, the Secretary of State. So like big guys.
Big people.
But she's running this like a tech company and not like a healthcare company.
Right. And that's a huge difference.
She wants to be like a Silicon Valley startup kind of. And she wants to be like a Steve Jobs, but she is a blood lady, you know?
So basically she gives these examples to these investors and goes like, ugh, this is an example of something that happened. Sorry, the machines aren't working right now.
Yeah.
Did the machines then ever work?
I don't know.
Is that part of her scam?
That's part of the scam. So I think it's hard to say if they did or not. So John Carreyrou, this guy that is a writer for the Wall Street Journal and wrote the book that I will not buy, calls it noble cause corruption. So she believes so much she really believes in what she's doing. But like at some point you must know. So also Sam told me from reading the book that her lead scientist killed himself because he's like, I can't keep lying to people. Like I can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the opposite of science, right? You're doing things. You're working so hard to discover new information and give correct information. And then you're exploiting these people. Now, with this, were people looking for a diagnosis from her? Were people looking for, or was it just they were curious? What did the blood test prove?
Okay.
What did the results say?
So this guy, bless you. Okay, so this guy, John Carreyrou, so like it would test for all kinds of things. It was supposed to test for all these things. And it is a competitor. She wanted it to be a competitor to LabCorp, which is like the big,
huge company.
Huge, like, blood testing company.
Yeah.
So she wanted to compete with those guys. So this guy, John Carreyrou, went and had his blood test taken from Theranos and then within the hour got it taken at LabCorp. And the results were completely different.
Right.
And one said his cholesterol, the Theranos one, was, like, extra high. And the LabCorp one said it didn't. And, like...
That's really dangerous because then you get on different prescription drugs and then...
And his doctor...
Really dangerous.
This guy's Carreyrou's doctor became like his partner in taking this girl down. And her blood result from Theranos showed that she had Addison's disease, which I don't know what it is, but she didn't really have it. Like it's saying like just false readings all over the place.
That's really dangerous.
Totally false readings. Super, super dangerous. So what happens is John Carreyrou says that all these guys like start investing in her because this one guy, George Shultz, he's in his 90s. She's young and pretty. She's like blonde. She's
probably
in her
30s. Has a great sales pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
She's smart. She went to Stanford.
Yeah.
So she's good at that.
She's a con artist, you know? She really is. And he's like, these people just want attention from a young girl. And they're not like, where else are they getting it?
Mm-hmm. Or they want to be a part of something trendy and new. And if they're old and they feel far behind, they're like, oh, look, I'm up on this new cool thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And at that point, all you have is to throw your money at stuff. Like if you're old and you're out of it and out of touch, that is something you can do.
That's how you buy people. So this guy that works at Walgreens, he's like ahead of something at Walgreens, gets like obsessed with Theranos, obsessed with Elizabeth Holmes.
In a good way or a researching way? Creepy way?
I think both.
Okay.
So he throws a bunch of money at Theranos and then Walgreens has Theranos in its stores.
No.
So when Walgreens was pushing the Walgreens wellness centers a few years ago.
Like, that was part of it?
That was what that was. Is like you can get your blood tested right in the store and it rolled out in Northern California and Arizona. And then it was bad and wrong and people got wrong tests.
So then is there a huge lawsuit?
Yeah, huge lawsuit. Let me see. Oh, and side note, her lawyer is David Boies, Boies, who I'm reading an article about. He is Harvey Weinstein's lawyer. He's a real shitbag. Don't sue me. He makes a lot of money, but he represents a bunch of scumbags. And he, like, intimidates people.
Great.
Like, physically intimidates.
That's what we need.
Also, George Shultz, the 92-year-old former Secretary of State, his grandson, Taylor, was working at the company. And Taylor was like, he quit and was like, wanted to like spill the beans and tell everybody everything. And he became one of Carreyrou's sources. But then his whole family like turned against him. And the lawyer was like bullying him and intimidating him to not talk and all this stuff, which is crazy. But I've heard that that's what this lawyer does.
What a great guy. I bet he's really fun to be around.
Yeah. And at the, so at that point, the height of her success, this company had a $10 billion valuation. So people thought it was worth $10 billion. Mm-hmm. And the stuff doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The machines don't work. The Edison broke, you know? So what a great scammer. Let's see what happened to her. 2013 was Walgreens. 2015, the Wall Street Journal reported that she was just using regular blood test machines.
Oh. And she claimed that they were these special, three special ones.
Yeah. I didn't write down what happened to her because, like, that stuff gets tedious and boring. But all of her money is gone. The company is gone.
Yeah.
When you go to their website, it's just like a legal notice, disclaimer. So everything got liquidated to try and pay back investors. I don't think she's in jail yet, but I think that she is poor. So that's what happened. And then John Carreyrou sold his book, and there's a documentary on HBO coming out next year, and B, a movie with Elizabeth Holmes, played by Jennifer Lawrence. So that's coming out.
Okay.
It'll be fascinating. I will watch both of those.
Oh, I will see it. But don't you dare read that book.
Read
my book.
No. Read her book. I read your book. No, I'm like 75th in line on my library.
On your library.
So I will read the book.
It's doing well. The book's doing well.
I think the book's doing well. Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe $10 billion?
I can believe.
That's so crazy.
I can believe because the medical industry is so difficult because it does so many great things and then it also is capable of just manipulating people.
Yeah.
It's so rich. I mean, it's even as small as like you go to a doctor's office. And so I used to, I worked at my dad's office as a receptionist for his PT practice. But then that was something I did in between auditioning and bit jobs is that I would be a medical receptionist. And medical receptionists have this like allowance that they are just mean people. Like I worked with a lot of, and if you ever like call, they're like, what do you want? How can I help you? And it's this thing. And I'm like, they're mean because they know that these people have to make this appointment that they're getting checked for diabetes or they broke their ankle. Like there's no reason for them to have customer service. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so backwards. Mm-hmm. And I always like really upset me. And it's, you know, if you have a bad day, it's easy to be like kind of cranky, but these people aren't coming to you because they want to bother you. The people are calling for their doctor's appointments because they're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just never understood why, like, you know, coworkers I'd be with or other medical receptionists were so bitchy and negative. And they really got away with it because the patient has to keep calling, you know? And it's like, it'd be so easy to be pleasant. Like it would be so easy. And if you're nice and helpful, like it really does blow their minds.
Yeah.
But then you have somebody who's like so nice when I call Amazon because I have an issue because like my British gardening show, you know, was delayed. And I'm like, guys, I need it every Friday. I'm very addicted to the show. And they're like, we're so sorry. We'll give you a $5, you know, coupon. I mean, they were so nice to me. And I'm like, why can't doctor's offices...
I am always shocked how like companies are like so, some companies are so well run and so nice. And then these simple amenities in our lives are so shitty. Like voting, for example, is like a shit show. Like doctor's offices,
shit show.
Voting is also all
volunteers.
Yeah.
So the poor people are just trying to do the best they can.
And even just this year, this last time I saw iPads in the voting, like it's all been paper and pencil before. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why is this stuff that's essential to our country like not run properly?
Well, it's not. And it's because they know people need it.
Yeah.
The need is so clear. Whereas like with Amazon is like you could go to another streaming service. Mm-hmm. So there is competition. Where I guess I just don't understand. But then at the same time, I would have people be very mean to me on the phone as a receptionist. And they'd be like, well, I need this. And so I know that they're coming from a place where they've had to battle. You sort of have to, the receptionist is the first person before you get through. Mm-hmm. So they have to like battle you or they're in pain and they call you first to get to who they really want to see. And people would be so mean to me when I was younger because I had a very young voice and I'd answer the phone for my dad. And then I'd be like, oh, Al Brodnick, yeah, the owner, that's my dad. Mm-hmm. And they would just shrink. And these horribly mean, middle-aged, elitist Bethesdians would just be like, oh, Al, always told me so much about you. How's ballet? Like, all of a sudden, they become these incredibly nice old people. And I'm like, no, you were so mean. And I would always tell my dad. Yeah. I was like, this person screamed at me until I slipped on purpose that I was. And it seemed like they would treat my mom that way. And then she'd be like, yep, and I'm his wife. And or they'd be like, he better get that message. And she's like, well, I'm his wife, so I'll tell him tonight. Thank you. And the person is so upset. Because you don't know.
You always have to treat people like people.
You do.
You know?
And also, if you're calling a doctor's office asking for an appointment, your name's right there. It's not like it's an anonymous caller. You're going to then come in on Tuesday at 3 p.m. and everybody's going to know Jane, whatever, was a huge dick.
Yeah.
Like, the office knows.
It's not a vacuum.
That's so crazy.
Also, getting back to genetic testing, I did the 23andMe. And I was like, have you done it?
I don't like it.
Oh, yeah. When you get your results back, they're like, oh, well, we tested for this, this, and this, but we don't test for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that. So if there was a blood test that would test for everything, I'd be so down for it.
Yeah. The problem is, too, is that with all of this is that new things are constantly coming down the pike. Like, there's constant new things, and that they're basically the issue with genetic testing, and I love it, but it's also a double-edged sword, is that the treatment for most things is just be healthy, exercise, and eat right.
Yeah.
So we all are predisposed.
And meditate, like Al Bronick says.
Yes. We're all predisposed to so many things.
Yeah.
So I'm positive for BRCA1, but if, let's say I was positive for something that would give me a high chance of heart disease, well, the only treatment until then is just to eat healthy and exercise. So there's so much. Sometimes it's hard because you get an influx of information when the solution is just the same that you should be doing
across
anyway.
The board. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then in your mind, you have this percentage, you have this number, you have this like looming fear.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways it's really, really helpful, but certain businesses, online mail-in businesses that I'm pretty upset about, they make profit off of that.
Yeah.
It's not your doctor's office bringing it in. It is a private company that's making profit off of this. So then they can sell your genetic information.
But they sell it anonymously and they sell it for research. So it's right, like, but have it.
Kind of. You know? I don't know, but they're also making money off of it. So they make money. So they make money and then they sell it to a pharmaceutical company. And then that company then charges you to make you better. So it's just, I don't know. It's just all, they are making so much money off of us.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if it's just through your doctor's appointment, if it's like one lab, then that's you. It's your health insurance. It's like a closed circuit.
I understand.
I know that there's a lot of good things and that they found like, what, some killer, some Zodiac killer because
yes,
of information.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know that's like a good thing, but there's just something about it that feels so icky to
invasive.
Me.
Invasive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that they're like, okay, great. So this information that, you know, is very important to you, could be life or death, could save you from cancer. We're going to use it and then sell it. And then it's just.
So they don't tell you they're selling it. I didn't know they were making money.
Well, the thing is that they have all of this, like all of these, you know, that huge thing of terms. We've talked about this on other things, like those lists of terms.
Mm.
And then they can sell it to other companies and then other companies can use
they
it.
They phrase it like participating in studies. So I thought that I was doing a good thing.
No, you are doing a good thing. It is really good. I'm glad you're participating in studies. But I just think there's also to be wary because once they have that genetic information, you're fine, but I just don't like the way that they sell advertisement. I just don't like the way they sell their. And they're like, oh, you could be this, you could be that, you could be Norwegian, you could be Swedish. And it's like, how cute and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but that's your genetic code. Like, it's not just sort of like a fun trying on dresses.
Yeah.
Like, it is like your medical information. And so when a company, my dad has a really hard time talking about him a lot, with when hospitals have commercials.
Yeah.
He's like, a hospital should not advertise. You go there because it's an emergency, because it's a need.
Mm.
People are sick. People need to have tumors cut out of their bodies. You don't need to have a cute, catchy commercial.
Well, that's when you go to the doctor's office and you know that they're upselling you, or you know
well,
that
that's
they're
so crazy. Is that like for that? Then that's them trying to be the most popular hospital. No, you like hospital and medical care shouldn't be a popularity contest.
My brother was telling me he has revenue goals to hit. And I was like, like, he's the manager of the PT center. And he was telling me that he has like monthly revenue goals. I was like, that's fucked up.
Well, it's also like an amount of patients. And it's really just to get patients in. And then I guess you could look at it as like, he's helping more people. So that's the positive side. But like when it's an advertisement, it's like, are you helping people?
Yeah.
Or are you just trying to be the most popular and make the most money? So that is what I don't like. I do not like, I will say publicly, I don't like the commercials of 23andMe.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's like a fun, like shopping.
Not a fad.
No, it's not a fad. And it's not like picking like, you know, a cool new eyebrow pencil. This is like your genetic information.
Yeah.
And it could be a lot. And it's also is a lot of information for you to take on alone and by yourself.
Mm.
Like if I, so what happened to me is that I got my information about my BRCA1 diagnosis, and it was so jarring and so triggering. And it was a very cold, horrible doctor that gave it to me and gave me the information and then left the room.
No.
And left me alone. No. And it was horrific. And I was so scared. And I felt like I had got cancer. It was all bad. It sent me on a 3-year alcoholic bender. I mean, it really fucked up my life.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the issue with these impersonal tests is that then you just get a piece of paper mailed to you.
Yeah.
If you go see a genetic counselor, which is in that circle of like healthcare and in that circle of like that HIPAA, everything's sort of protected. They're basically like a therapist and a scientist in one.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit down and they go over everything. And they're like, so here are the genetic results. Really, they don't, like the risks don't apply until you're in your 40s. Like they kind of go through each detail, what you can do. How do you talk to your family members? Because otherwise you're just sort of given this like extreme shock and you don't really know where to go. And if you're like me, I hibernated and drank my problems and freaked out.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you sit, I really think it's something to sit with in person. And so that's why I don't also like the commercials that they're like, oh, like, you know, look at me. I'm deep sea diving in Africa with my ancestors. And then like also you could check if you have a risk for breast cancer. But it's like I want to sit down. They're not the same thing.
Totally.
They are completely two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is my heritage? And then they're going to also offer something that seems easy, but I want to, if you have an extremely high risk of breast cancer, that maybe you got it from your mother.
Also, can I tell
it's
you?
It's just so connected.
Also, can I tell you, the way that they present the results are very, like, kind of scammy as well.
Oh, I hate it.
Because they'll be like, when I clicked on it, it was like, this is negative, this is negative, this is negative. And then it was like BRCA1, click for more information. Yeah. So I was like, oh, click for more information. That means I'm positive for BRCA1. And it wasn't until I clicked on it and read through all the information that I found out it was negative. But I thought I was positive. And I was like sitting with my mom.
That's the thing is that like you are alone at your computer.
Yeah.
Where you're alone and you get something mailed in. And like that is not how you should be given medical information.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first wanting to get tested and all this stuff, doctors were very, very, very sensitive about the fact of the emotional effect it will have on you.
Yeah.
And before all of these companies were started, there was unfortunately, this company, Myriad, tried to patent the gene testing, and you're not allowed to patent a gene.
No.
But because of that, what they were trying to own, which is really shitty, it created a holdup and other companies, it couldn't get started.
Mm.
So the only positive thing is while all this like weird bureaucracy that was totally shitty was happening is that you actually did go to a doctor face to face to a person. Good doctor, bad doctor, at least they explained it to you. Somebody talked it through to you. It wasn't just this like alone, scarce feeling. Now, once that didn't get passed, it opened the door so all these other companies could do it. But then once you have these companies, they're for-profit companies. Yes, they participate, but it's not your doctor.
Yeah.
And so it is available. And that's so lucky. And I've had a lot of people that have come to me and they were tested with these companies easily online. And then they go to get more information. But that's a really sensitive place and scary place to be in that, like, in that moment in between.
Totally.
I'd rather, like, if you're thinking about it, I'd always recommend, like, go to a center that tests, go to your doctor. And that then when she gives information, she can right away give you the next doctor to see. Next person to see, because when it is something that's heredity based, it affects guys. I could talk for hours. When it's something that's heredity based,
buy your book.
I know it's all in there. It affects your family members.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, do I have freckles because of this like funny thing? Or am I just like a person who's freckly? No, it's because your mother, your grandmother. And then when it's something with cancer, it's not even like, do I have, you know, could I possibly have diabetes? Like cancer affects so many people so emotionally.
Mm.
Like the struggle and cancer treatment and healing from cancer is so huge and so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like, you know, do we have a tendency for diabetes in the family? Diabetes is scary, but a lot of people can live with it. when you bring up cancer, there's such a like huge like volume of emotions and fear and death that is affected with cancer. So I just don't think it's something to be flippant about.
It's truly like when I got the results, I'm like sitting with my mom and I was like, oh, I guess I have PROGL1. And she was like, oh yeah, all your, you know, your dad's mom and all the women on his side all had breast cancer. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it has a whole new conversation. Idea. Wait, you do or you don't?
No, I thought I did for like a half an hour. And then I read my results properly and I don't. I just have a gluten allergy.
Really? That's so crazy, Sue, because I did the whole testing because I thought I had a gluten allergy. And all I wanted was to find out I had a gluten allergy. And my doctor was like, no, bitch.
You don't have a gluten allergy. No.
She's like, you clearly have PROGL1. Your whole family is. My dad's the only surviving person in his family.
Just tell me I have a gluten allergy.
That's all I wanted, Sue, and you got it.
Sorry.
That's okay. Sorry. I'm proud of you.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You got a scam for me?
I got a scam. Okay. I love old cons. And this one is hysterical to me. Not hysterical. I mean, it is sad. People died. It's a bad thing.
She laughs hysterically.
But there is this funny thing to me because at the core of this, it is the shitty, shitty concept of colonization.
Oh.
And it takes place in the UK, where England thought it was the most wonderful, most powerful place in the world, and it just took over other countries. And that mentality that the entire UK and all of like the regular average citizens were like, oh, we can do this.
Yeah.
Other countries we're going to explore. They called themselves explorers, and they would just ransack all of these other countries and cultures. So this made me laugh. Okay. So there's a guy named Gregor McGregor.
Gregor McGregor yeah. at your service.
He was born on December 24th, 1786. So he was a Scottish soldier and he, you know, was around and they call him a Scottish soldier, adventurer, and confidence trickster. So he created his own country.
What?
He basically went to the new lands and the new worlds and created his own country. He drew British and French investors and settlers to Poyais, P-O-Y-A-I-S, a fictional Central American territory.
What?
That he claimed to rule as the Cazique, C-A-Z-I-Q-U-E. So he created this country and said that he was the ruler of it. So then he would go to these parties and he would go all around like high society, calling himself this like head leader of this country as if a type of royalty, and people bought it.
I love it.
Because they were so fucking dumb and so elitist. He was a part of the British Army. He was an officer. He did fight in the Venezuelan War of Independence. So he was a fighter. And at some point, he was just like, fuck it, I own a country now. So he claimed that King George Frederick Augustus of the Mosquito Coast of the Gulf of Honduras had created him the Cazique of Poyais, which he described as a developing company, a country with an existing community of British settlers. So he told British that there's already British people there.
Wait, okay, So Poyais doesn't mm-hmm. exist?
Does not exist.
Wow. So good.
And he described it as a developed colony. And so he would go to these people and say, look, we have a colony for you. I'm the head of it. Come on in. So he would get investors. He got people to move there.
But where did they move?
They moved to this location. And so the location was in South America. He had a bunch of settlers come over, but there was a return of fewer than 50 settlers. So a bunch of people were victim there because they just would come over and try to create land. But there was already people living there. It was a jungle.
Is this Mosquito Coast?
Yeah. This is Poyais.
But I thought Poyais was fake.
It is fake, but it is an area
okay.
in South America.
Okay. This is...
I know.
Gregor McGregor.
Everybody believed him. So then he would go back and forth and he was getting this sort of like glamour and this admiration, and they would let him into his parties and he was scamming everyone. I think he also created his own currency.
What? Yeah.
Can you believe? And the problem.
That's okay. so rude.
It's out of control.
Wait, can I tell you, just from like learning a little bit about scams, I think that when someone says they're a baron, they're lying.
I know.
It's always the barons.
I don't even know what a baron is. Okay. So on the Mosquito Coast, which I didn't know that was a real thing.
Mm-mm. Sounds buggy.
At the Cape Gracias de Dios, the area was pleasing to the eye, it says, but unfit for cultivation and could sustain little in the way of livestock. So it was not a place to live, but he dubbed it as Poyais after the natives of the highlands around the Black River source, the Paya or Poyer people, today called Pech. Oh, he attended a coronation because he said that he was on the Poyer's behalf. Like he would attend
what?
Things. Yes. He claimed to have inherited a democratic system of government there with basic civil service and military. To those interested, he showed and said that there was a copy of the proclamation he had issued for the Poyais on 13th of April, 1821. He announced a land grant. He asked people departing Europe to seek investors and colonists for religious and moral instructors and persons to guide and assist you. So he forged documents
wow.
and used that as proof. And so it's considered like one of the most brazen scams and cons in history. But it just drives me crazy because this is how obnoxious the British were. Like, they firmly believed they could just take something over. And then some guy comes in, some Scottish guy, and says that he's owning a country. And why wouldn't they believe? They're doing that all over. They did it in India. They did it all over all the Americas at first. So they're trying to do all of this. And the thing was, is that some of these people came over and there wasn't anything there. And then you arrive and you have, and that's what's like the sad part, is that you have these settlers. Yeah. I mean, they're dumb people. And
but maybe they're not, though. That's maybe true. They just want a better life.
I know.
You know?
And you think it's okay.
And he thinks it's okay.
And, like, and you think it's fine that they want. I know.
They just want to sail to a better life.
I know.
And here's the thing. It's like in the 1700s, you're discovering land. You're naming the countries. Right. You're seeing what's in the world. Who's going to fact check that?
Alongside the land certificate sales, MacGregor spent several months organizing an issue of Polynesian government loan on the London Stock Exchange.
Wow.
Yes, can you believe it?
The balls.
I know. The London bank with a fine reputation underwrote a £200,000 loan, secured on all revenues of government of Poyas.
Oh my God.
He had bonds. I mean, this guy just went for it. And so there were eager settlers. There were people that were so excited to come over. And they believed his story. And it says here that, like, an analyst believed that he probably believed his own story, too. I mean, he probably thought he was this hero. Mm-hmm. But you can't just create a – I mean, I guess you can create a country. I mean, they create countries all the time.
I mean,
but it really was so shady.
Wait, so what makes this
– so? Really quick, hundreds, mostly Scots, signed up to immigrate.
Okay.
And enough to fill 7 ships.
Okay.
And then I think only about 50 were left.
So they go from Scotland, they go to Poyas, which, by the way, sounds like pollo, the Spanish word for chicken. So I keep thinking it's called chicken.
Yes.
Chicken's country.
Yeah, it's chicken.
So they go there. That is an actual place.
It is an actual place that has... But I guess it's under the idea that he came over, he conquered it. This is his community. This is his territory.
So they're going thinking it's going to be set up already.
Set up in some way. And he said it is very lucrative. Like, he is telling people, like,
okay,
if you have, I feel like if you have, like, a fake government, if you have, like, checks, if you have, like, parliament, I mean, if you have all this information, if you have money with the London Stock Exchange, it seems like there's something there, because they were setting up like settlers camps, like how they did in the US, and they would create these really shitty like borders that the natives could, you know, Native Americans couldn't get into. And so there was some sort of setup and infrastructure.
I think that's what is the difference between like a him and a Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we don't know what Columbus told people.
I mean, he's gross too.
Yeah. But like, he came over, he said, oh my gosh, this is my country. Everybody come live here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this guy did. But this guy made money with his face on it.
Right. And so basically they said that when everybody reached there, they were bemused to find a country rather different from the sketch descriptions, with no sign of St. Joseph, a location he said that was there. And they set up camp on shore, and they sent search parties. One was guided by the natives, and it just sent them to foundations of rubble. Like, there was literally nothing there. And everybody figured out that they were duped immediately.
Oh.
Yeah. And they said women and children were free.
What do you mean?
So like, the men would have to pay for their trip over.
Yeah.
But women and children were allowed to go free.
Ugh.
So that's so terrible. That's the part that's so upsetting.
Gregor MacGregor.
I know.
What are we going to do with you?
I know. And of course, like, everything was fake. There was nothing. There's just, yeah.
Was anyone mad? Like, did he get killed?
Did
he get stoned to death? There's no justice for white men. Mm-mm. Like, there's no accountability.
Yeah, he was acquitted of fraud.
He was acquitted.
He went into hiding in the French provinces.
Ugh. Gregor MacGregor, trash.
Yeah. It said, MacGregor issued a French language declaration from his prison cell in 1826, claiming that he was contrary to human rights held prisoner for reasons of which he was not aware and suffering as one of the founders of independence in the New World. So this fucker believed it. And that's what's so crazy. He said, he was like, look, you can have a country, just got to forge some documents and I'm a victim.
This is my country.
This is my country, guys.
You're taking this country.
I took it first.
Yeah.
Tag, I'm it. Yeah. You know, people died. Families had nothing.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's my country.
Yeah.
White men.
I know. So, yeah. And I just think, like, it's so crazy. And it's just so crazy at that time that that was the mentality. You could do that. And that
balls.
Was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The boss.
He eventually dies. I think he just dies regular jail. Shit. Yeah. Return to Venezuela and death. I mean, he loved Venezuela.
Hey, great.
Yeah. Okay, MacGregor was duly confirmed as a Venezuelan citizen and a divisional general in the Venezuelan army with a pension of one-third of his salary. I
know. What?
Our producer's dying. After his death at home, he was buried with full military honors.
No! How does he have honor?
Cabinet ministers and the military chiefs of Venezuela marching behind his coffin.
No.
It was a heroic and triumphant retreat.
What?
A valiant champion of independence.
No, this is not a champion. This is not a champion.
It says back in Scotland and the MacGregor graveyard near Loch Katrine, the clan memorial stones make no mention of Gregor MacGregor or the country he invented.
Good.
So Scotland was like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But Venezuela was like, you know what?
We got a conqueror. Like
well, he did serve in the army. Like, so that's what's so crazy. So he did do service for them, but then he duped all the Scots. Guys.
I hate him.
So part of today's Honduras that was supposedly called Poyas remains undeveloped in the 21st century.
So we could go.
We could definitely go and do it, and we should. That's mm-hmm. the message of this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that is an uninhabitable location.
Yeah.
So he just was like, look, there's like a bunch of trees and shrubs. Let's live in it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Who knows what sort of like crazy scorpion there might be.
We'll grow some stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's so nuts. Mm. And he pulled that scheme on everyone.
Man.
Isn't that crazy?
To be a white man.
I know. And there's more details of which I can't give a book report right now, but I want to. But I just cannot believe, what blows my mind is all of the money that he had had from, yeah, he held himself president. Like whatever it was, he was the king, he was the head, he was a president, like wherever he had to go, he just was in charge of it. Mm. And these people were like, nah, dude.
Nah, bitch.
No. I mean, can you imagine you're a woman, you're married to some guy in Scotland. He's like, no, this is a great idea. Gregor MacGregor, we went to grade school together. He sounds like a made-up person, but he's real.
No, come my buddy, me. Gregor MacGregor.
Gregor MacGregor. We got to go to this place, Poyas.
Poyas.
So you go over and you're just like around a bunch of jungle.
Mm.
And like, crazy shit. Mm. And other people that are like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it didn't work out. But I am sad because it was something like 250 people came over, 50 lived.
50 lived. But are those 50, did they stay there?
No, I think they left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe one person stayed. Maybe
they were
like
this
really
is jungle. We gotta
this is
go.
Uninhabitable. Yeah. Yeah. We can't make it.
Gotta go.
I know. Ugh. Well, I mean, serves London right, right? That stock exchange. I mean, you're taking everything else.
Yeah.
Serves you bitches right.
Yeah, that's true. You got to have one failure.
You got to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could just continue to read. And I'm sure, I think there's like books on it. I'm sure it was something, I could just go into it forever. But what's so crazy, and I think the confusing part is that he did do like some help on the Venezuelan, like Venezuela loved him.
Yeah.
That's what's so crazy.
You know, cultures are different.
Someone's monster, someone else's king.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just so nuts. Mm. So, so, so nuts.
Well, thank you for making me live it.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you guys. And if you have Skims or you want to add more information or correct us.
Scams, sure. Kindly.
Sure. It's not like we do a ton of research. We
you
do.
Know what? We're just getting by.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Seriously.
And we're just fascinated. But you know what it is? We're fascinated, but we're not going to like be obsessed. I mean, I'm a little obsessed, but I just also want to live my life.
I got to live my life. Yeah, now.
So we report on the scams that we think are fun. You can call us, though, if you have corrections or if there's something you would like to add. Also, if you have a scam that happened to a family member of yours or that you were involved in, like scams affect us all day, all night.
And if your scam is sad, don't worry. We will make it funny.
Oh,
okay?
We know how to spin a sad scam.
We will spin a sad scam.
Spin that scam. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can call us at 347-509-9414.
And leave us a voicemail.
Yeah. Again, that's 347-509-9414.
Yeah.
ScamWow!
Or you can email us at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And we have internet. We have Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, yeah. ScamWow Podcast all the way.
Get us.
All right.
We're there.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.